What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're joined by Common Council member Mitch Nowakowski. Mitch, good morning.
Hey, Beamer. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for joining us. Lots to get to. And let's start with this city-operated ambulance service. We talked a little bit about this with Joe Golombek, but the votes are in to look into the creation of the city-operated ambulance service. What do you expect to find out in these next few weeks once the council's back in session about the ambulance service?
So what I want to have happen is to have a good conversation with AMR, because I have gotten complaints from, you know, medical providers, locations in my district like restaurants and other establishments who have called 911 and the emergency operation line, and they haven't been serviced. So it's really nerve-wracking when people do not get service at all. So what we're trying to see is, you know, what's going on here? You know, what is what's preventing people not being serviced, because this is such a large issue. So we're trying to get down to the nitty-gritty of what's happening. Why are they operating without a contract that's expired? You know, are they low on staffing? We're really trying to get down to what's going on here. So I think that when we return in September, we're trying to get, you know, a dialogue happening to see how do we move forward.
Maybe this is not the right question to ask, but going into this, are you hoping to stay with AMR, or are you hoping to go more towards city operated?
Moving forward, I'm trying to see if the evidence shows that it's not beneficial for the city to stay with AMR and we need to have a breakup, then we need to do that. Really, right now, we're in a fact-finding stage of how best do we provide service to the city of Buffalo and its residents when it comes down to emergency response.
Another thing in the news is Buffalo looking to enforce amusement fees. I'm guessing this is probably very popular with people in your district. What are you hearing from the venues?
It is not popular in my district. So that caught me on a flat foot. I was away, and then I returned to a lot of angry calls and messages. And so I'm not in favor of it. Look, our deficit in the city is very large. I mean, we'll probably see $50 million worth of a budget gap, and pinching people like this isn't going to get us to where we need to go. And I don't think that it's properly being utilized, especially when we're trying to engage our business districts to start having you know, additional revenue, because we already gain a lot of momentum in sales tax, and so burdening those establishments isn't the way to go.
Do you think that is the popular thought in the council, or is the popular thought in the council people wanting to have this, but maybe a little different than it's written now?
No, I don't think it's a popular thing. I think that it's an archaic method that was utilized. And so I think that, you know, we do have to have a dialogue of saying, look, you know, we kept our fees and are so low for so long. And, you know, those days are gone. We need to be able to look at what the appropriate charge is for fee structures. But this ain't it right now.
Now, another thing that happened this week is the news that the fire at the Old Pink was deliberate. It was arson. How did you take that news?
You know, I was livid. And when I really initially had thought about it, because, you know, fires of that magnitude are a threat to public safety. They're a threat to the neighborhood, and then they're a threat to emergency responders. So I was really angry, because when I went to the structure and I saw there was really a masonry structure, Beamer, like that is on Mariner and Allen, that really protected the entire street from lighting up like a match. So, you know, I want to thank the ATF. I want to thank the Buffalo Fire Department and police and all the first responders who worked really hard investigating this matter. And I hope that they continue further and they find the person of interest, and that they hold this person accountable, and that justice is sought.
So what do we know at this time? Do we have a suspect? Do we know if there are other people suspected of helping out with this? What do we know right now about the arson?
I believe that there's a person of interest in that camera footage and eyewitness accounts are helping to identify that person.
But to this point, no, we don't know the motive. It's just we know that it was deliberately set.
Correct.
Well, we will be continuing to follow that story because, I mean, the outpouring that we're still seeing community-wide, Mitch, I mean, in the city and beyond for the Old Pink, I mean, it really shows just how important of a place this was to so many people.
You know, Joe, Buffalo is a very nostalgic place. We're nostalgic people. You know, we are, I call Buffalo like a big living room. We all know each other. We all have, you know, memories and history. And so these structures and these places mean a lot to the identity of Buffalonians.
Yeah, for sure. We'll continue to follow that. The other story, also including working with a fire, is the cobblestone situation, Mitch. Now, this was a hot issue before the fire and continues to be between the city and Derek Carr. Any updates on that situation this morning?
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So just to be able so people can understand this correctly is that the highest court in the state of New York erred on the side of the city in the use of eminent domain. And Derek Carr has remedies available to him that he could appeal to the Second Circuit Court, which is one step below the United States Supreme Court, which is really rare and obscure that they would even hear his case. So the fact of the matter is, you know, we cannot allow buildings to fall down on everyone's head. These are the oldest structures in the Cobblestone Historic District. And when you are in a historic district, you can access tax credits. So someone that has common sense and a logic brain would say, well, wait a minute, if the oldest structure in the Cobblestone District falls, what makes this district historic? Why are you accessing tax credits? This doesn't make any sense. So he right now, the city's in conversations about emergency stabilization of the structure and are seeing the court cases penned out because I believe that he's at the end of his rope. And stop wasting taxpayer dollars, stop wasting time in court, and all this time and money that he spent in court, he could have been putting in his building and adhering to the laws of the city of Buffalo. And he didn't want to do that, and you know, but I have faith that everyone will be held accountable.
That's right. Derek Carr is a quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. And we're getting close to football season, so I apologize for the mix-up. Mitch, I know we've talked about this several times, but in the state that property is in now, what is your hope? I mean, does your hope remain the same for that property?
Yeah, that it could be adaptively reused. And you have people like Steve Carmina who are actually, we approved a gift of public funds for Mr. Carmina and his architecture group that actually put plans forward to show that it could be emergency stabilized and that it can be adaptively reused. These buildings have done it before. I mean, we are, as a city, sophisticated enough to have historic buildings be adaptively reused. It's not out of question. It's not far fetched. And in the city of Buffalo, we deserve nice things, and we deserve to have our architecture preserved and our built environment enjoyed.
You know, we're about a month away from preseason hockey and other hockey related events at the Harbor Center and at the arena. What is the safety of passing that property now? And if there's any questions, will that be addressed before hockey season?
Yes, it will be. The Commissioner of Department of Permits and Inspections has gone thoroughly throughout those plans to make sure that that structure is not a hazard to pedestrians, let alone hockey goers.
Now, you casted a vote this weekend, or at the end of the week, for Vice President Kamala Harris to be the nominee. The DNC coming up at the middle of this month, pushed back because of the Olympics. Mitch, we talked to you the night Joe Biden stepped aside. 2 weeks after that, how are you feeling about the Democrats and heading into the convention?
Honestly, I'm feeling better than ever. And so with the president stepping aside and Vice President Harris stepping up, it really has shaken the Democratic Party and really activated people who were on the sidelines or really not actively participating. So the party seems really energized to be able to zero in on these 100 days and to move forward to elect her to be the president of the United States. And to be honest, now that I'm seeing all these folks activated, I have so much more appreciation for the president stepping aside, because he kept a lot of people dormant. And the fact of the matter is, his campaigns are about energy. They're about zest. They're about being able to unite people and to get your base out. And Democrats know that once we get our base out, we win. I mean, the fact of the matter is, when Democrats come out and they vote, we win. And so when we're seeing, you know, that we're living in more polarized times and division and fake news and misinformation, we're really looking at a candidate that can unite us, to bring us together, to be able to look at a future of what we can accomplish. And so I head to the convention in a few weeks, more excited than ever. I mean, what a time to be alive, let alone to be a delegate.
Heading to the convention, now, the RNC was a very unifying 4 days. I mean, talk to anyone that was there. The whole message was unity. Will we see very similar 4 days at the DNC?
I believe so, because, you know, the fact of the matter is, the Democratic Party is a Big Ten party. You have people who are moderate. You have people to the left. You have people who may have been former Republicans. I mean, the Democratic Party is a Big Ten party, and we cannot allow ourselves to tear each other apart and rip each other down. And I think that Kamala Harris is truly the candidate who is uniting everyone underneath the tent to bring us together to win in November, to win for a better future for all of us.
Do you have a preference when it comes to a VP? Do you have someone you'd like to see the current VP pick?
You know, I don't have a preference yet. To me, I'm about winning. We got to win. We got to have a ticket that can win, and we have to have a ticket and a vice presidential candidate that can balance the ticket to unite, preferably swing voters in those states. And so, you know, I think all eyes are going to be on, you know, states with governors like Kentucky or Pennsylvania, who are, you know, these states are red and their governors are Democratic, and they've shown proven examples that they can win in red areas. So I really hope that the nominee, the potential nominee, and Vice President Harris really looks towards a running mate that can help close gaps and balance the ticket.
Now, a CBS poll came out this morning on their show Face the Nation, and it shows Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania tied, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Trump has a slight lead, including Georgia, and Nevada, Harris has a 2-point lead. Looking at that, Mitch, as a Democrat, as someone, as you said, you want to win in November, what state do you think is going to be the biggest problem for the Harris campaign?
That's a good question. You know, I think because of the nature of campaigns and how they work, you know, it is so fluid. I mean, I'm always leery of an October surprise, you know, because it's right before an election. But I think that if Democrats are going to win, when we look at a map, we got to look at Pennsylvania, we got to look at Michigan, and we got to look at Arizona. And those are the areas where we know that we can win. And let's face it, 4 years ago, you know, the president won Georgia. So the potential is there. And I think that that's where my initial apprehension is for the vice president picking maybe, you know, the senator from Arizona, because the Senate is, you know, so narrowly divided. We would need a Democratic senator for her to be able to lead and put her agenda in. But those states are up for grabs, and we got a lot of time to start changing those narratives and closing those gaps and start making toss-ups into blue.
Councilmember Mitch Nowakowski, also a delegate at the DNC. Mitch, we appreciate you joining us at the beginning of your recess month, and hope you have a good time in Chicago and possibly join us the Sunday after to break it all down.
Oh, absolutely.
I look forward to that. Mitch, thank you so much. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks, Beamer.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.